This is a podcast from ABC Overnights.
Now, I don't know about you, but I love Star Trek. And if there are two characters in the show who exemplify the values of Star Trek, they're William T. Riker and Data, who you may have seen in Star Trek The Next Generation. Now, Data and Riker are played by Jonathan Frakes and Brent Spiner, who have a new podcast called Dropping Names with Brent and Johnny, in which they sit down with various guests and talk through stories where they've run into famous people over the years. So they drop names, they ring a bell every time a name is dropped. It's super charming stuff. And Brent and Jonathan are, after decades on screen together, still friends. They're still friends and they're working together yet again, this time on a podcast. So what's it like to work with a friend? Is it a good idea? Is it a magical experience? Is it even advisable? Well, after a brief chat about Billy Wilder and classic Hollywood cinema, Brent and Jonathan and myself leapt into a truly strange and magical talk. So here it is, my chat with Brent Spiner and Jonathan Frakes.
Can I ask you a question right off the back, Paul?
Sure.
Yeah. Is that a mustache real?
It's real and it's load-bearing. So if I shave it off, the whole face collapses. It's
excellent. I got to approach this differently now.
Paul, may I ask you a question? What town are you in?
I'm in Melbourne.
Melbourne. Oh, I love Melbourne.
Do you really?
It's the best town in all of Australia.
It's the Paris of Australia.
It's beautiful. You don't like it?
I love it, but I'm not sure whether you're pandering to the locals or whether you actually love it.
No, it's the most beautiful.
Oh, it's great. I
stay away from Perth.
I love the juxtaposition of the buildings, the Victorian buildings with these whimsical designs and... The park is beautiful, the great restaurants. It's just a great town.
You ever worked down there?
Yeah. Have Sydney? I worked in Australia?
Yeah.
I shot, me and Nicole Kidman did, no, I've never worked there.
I mean, it's genuinely fabulous to have you both on the show. How are you both faring this afternoon?
Oh, good. This afternoon? Well, I didn't sleep much last night.
Oh, my God. This story again.
Yeah. I couldn't sleep at all.
Sleep at all last night.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I think I was nervous about doing this interview.
Me too. I had very odd Byzantine dreams, Brent.
Byzantine? Were we in it?
Oh, yeah. It was just the three of us doing this, but there was a...
What time is it where you are?
It's too early for this. What I'll do is I will just say... I'm very excited about the show.
Oh, thank you.
People are very excited about this. Where did the idea come from to get back together, sit in some lovely Chesterfields and make this happen?
Well,
FedCon.
FedCon. It's all started at FedCon. Do you know what that is?
I do not.
It's a Comic-Con specific to Star Trek, I think.
I think it's all genre, but it's a big German Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's a big German Comic-Con. It generally takes place in Bonn. Is it in Bonn?
Or Dusseldorf?
No, not – well, that's a different one. FedCon is Bonn or where Beethoven's house is. I can't remember where that is, but we always go to see where Beethoven was born. So we did this show there. We had to do a panel. And
it happened to be in the morning.
Yeah. But you do a panel, a question and answer with the audience. And for some reason, they booked our panel together at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, the last day of the convention. So we decided to do it as a breakfast show.
It was the Brent and Johnny breakfast show. Breakfast with Brent and Johnny.
Yeah. And we literally, they had a table with breakfast, all kinds of eggs and sundry items.
They wrote a theme song. They put out a little banner that they had, and then we invited some of the other guests. Michael Trucco, I remember, was with us, and Candace from... Stargate was – so it was guests of the show were guests on our show.
And we interviewed them.
And Germany then, hasn't been the same since.
Right. Better. It's better. Better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The EU's gone up. The value of the currency's just through the roof. Yeah.
So anyway, that evolved. And in time, we thought, well, let's do a podcast because, as you know
– the world needs another podcast.
Exactly.
Look, you've basically called the show Dropping Names and...
Other things.
And other things.
Yeah.
The Brent and Johnny Show.
Yeah. But you've got clearly so many stories to tell. When you were on set doing the show, I keep hearing all these almost urban myths about people that swung by, you know, politicians, heads of state, you know, other actors who just sort of walked onto set. Where do you begin when dropping names? Where do you begin? How do you start this journey?
Well, first name that you dropped was Billy Wilder. He gets a bell, And then the show carries on, and whoever we feel is worthy of a, that's our thing.
And we have guests come in, and we try to, you know, coerce them into telling us who they've been in a room with or, you know, shared air with that they couldn't believe they were standing there with this person.
We just finished an episode with our friend Dean Devlin, who happened to have been Al Pacino's chauffeur, driver, for 3 years. Wow. And it essentially changed his career and life.
Yeah. Yeah, and he told us a bit about that. And I think our premise has always been, and my premise is, first of all, I think most people, I know it's true of me, get into show business for two reasons. One, because they need to express themselves, and the other, because they want to meet the people they've just admired, and they want to meet them, they want to work with them, they want to be in a room with them. And so everybody who has fans of their own are huge fans of someone else's, and that's what we want to know about.
And that's why we've invited you to come on the show.
Yeah. And so tell us about your first, their biggest fan, you know.
Somebody you never expected to meet, but you did.
And you couldn't believe you were meeting
them. And
don't say me.
Present company excluded.
Yeah.
I was going to say the two of you, but I once had to, at the last minute, interview Harrison Ford for a Star Wars junket.
Bam!
I was physically ill at the thought of interviewing him. I don't remember most of it, but what I learned that day was that people had said Harrison Ford was a real curmudgeon, that he was a difficult person to work with. I met him. He was extremely nice to me.
Oh, that's his shtick. He just likes to do that. Have you ever met Harrison Ford?
I don't think I have. Have you?
I met him one time at a clothing store in New York. I was with LeVar, and Harrison walked in, and LeVar said, Harry. And he came over.
Harry?
Harry. That's what they call him.
Yeah.
And he had an earring in his ear that he had just purchased, a little diamond stud. And I don't know if he still wears it, but probably not in the Westerns. But
he did some work at our house as a carpenter before he was an actor.
Yeah.
He did not.
He did not. No.
No, not really.
Speaking of meeting people, I'm thinking back to when Will Riker first meets Data, and, you know, Riker mistakes Data for a robot, and Data has to correct him, and there's whistling.
Harmless. How easily humans do that. I still need much practice.
Jonathan, do you remember the first time you met Brent in real life? And Brent, were you sitting alone by a lake whistling and Jonathan ambled along? I mean, what was your first meeting like?
It was very much like that.
Very much like it. And that's actually our fondest memory.
Yeah. Now, we knew each other.
We had done some play readings for mutual friends prior to being cast together on Next Gen.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'll steal Brent's line, which is, on the first day of shooting, we met Patrick Stewart, and Brent showed up, and I said, really, him?
Yeah,
it's better when you tell that story.
Well, that's the way I felt.
Let me hear you tell it.
Oh, LeVar Burton, that's cool. He's going to do, oh, Patrick Stewart? Yeah, I know him from I, Claudius. He would be good. And, oh, Jonathan Frakes? Really? They gave him this job?
It's better when you tell it. I think I'd leave that in your hands.
You know who you kind of look like, by the way, Paul? You know who.
Yeah.
Are we Tom Selleck?
No. I was going with Colin Farrell.
I'll be honest. From some people's points of view, an upgrade.
But maybe when he had a mustache, Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell has gotten better. And, well, speaking of Colin Farrell and Selleck.
I wonder if we get Colin Farrell on the show. If not, could we get Paul to pretend he's Colin Farrell?
Oh, done. 100% done.
He was spectacular in, is it called The Penguin? What's it called?
Yeah, Penguin.
Oh, mm-hmm. He's a wonderful actor. I think he gets better with age as well.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
In Bruges? That's a brilliant
I love In Bruges.
He is wonderful. As are you, Paul. Don't let us derail you. Yeah.
Now, were you leading the witness because you were in the Hawaiian shirt? You wanted us to go Tom Selleck on you?
I've often hoped to have someone go Tom Selleck on me. But no, the Tom Selleck thing is just, it's a flattering comparison. But I actually just want to wind back to something, because I'm thinking, if you guys meet in real life, and then you're playing friends on screen. Yeah. I'm keen to hear how a friendship forms when it's happening in tandem with an on-screen friendship. I mean, does one take precedence? Does one take a backseat? Do you risk sort of neglecting one or the other? What was it like having those two kind of happen at the same time?
It's actually a wonderful question.
Well, then answer it, if you think it's so good.
Well, what triggered in my mind was, on a lot of shows, the company of actors pretend to be friends and family. And on our show, we actually are.
It really
and
happens.
Have been for almost 40 years. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to pretend to like each other because we actually do like each other. And we don't have to pretend to get along because I've been on sets where that's not the case. And so, for instance, when we returned to do Picard season 3, everybody said, what was it like getting back together? I said, well, I just saw him last week at a convention in Cleveland. I don't know. I just had dinner with them on Thursday, you know. So that reality is that when our lives all changed by getting on Next Gen, we all realized it sort of at the same time because LeVar and Will Wheaton were famous, but the rest of us were journeymen, if you will. And it had changed our lives in a way that we, I think, appreciate collectively. We've been this serious for hours.
I know. I hate it.
I'm sorry to bring the mood down.
Yeah. You're bumming me out, Paul.
Sorry. I didn't mean to kill the vibe. Let me just edify things a little bit more. It just struck me, guys, that your first interaction on screen is a musical one. You know, Pop Goes the Weasel. And you're both musicians in real life. I'd love to talk about your musical craft and your musical inclinations, if that's okay with the two of you.
Brett, that's all yours, Sam.
Yeah, me. Well, I mean, you're a real musician. Because you play an instrument.
I play the slush pump.
You play the trombone.
It's called a slush pump.
Slush pump. I don't play an instrument. I can play a little guitar, but that not very well.
What about this beautiful instrument that you
have? My voice has been my instrument in the past.
He's a legitimate tenor, by the way, Paul. A legitimate tenor.
Like, I could hit a high C. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do it. Because, you know, a high C not connected to anything else is really kind of...
It's just a high C.
It's just a high C.
Out of context.
Right.
Yeah. A nude is a beautiful thing, but a pair of genitals floating in space is horrifying.
Exactly. Yeah. Paul, not to derail that question, but I think we answered it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of listening audience do you have? Are they all in... Are they in Melbourne?
They're international, I would say.
Oh, that's cool. That's a lot of people. It's a huge responsibility to ask interesting questions.
Thank you for reminding me of that, Brent.
Yeah, I don't want to make you nervous, Paul.
Just, I appear to have soiled myself. No, it's...
Wait till we tell him how beautiful his blue eyes look on camera.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I already knew that.
I should think.
I'm looking at you, Jonathan. I'm seeing a trombone player. I'm seeing a crooner over there. Does anyone else on the cast of Next Gen have any musical aptitude? Are there enough musical talents on board to assemble an actual band?
No.
Yes. Not a band, but Dorn plays bass. Brent Spiner released an album, his first album, I believe. It's called Old Yellow Eyes Is Back. Do you know anything about this?
I've listened to it several times.
Okay.
Have you listened to my second album called Dreamland?
Back when it first came out.
Yeah, that's the better album, really.
Is it really?
Yeah, it really
because
is.
Of Fiona Apple's sister?
Yeah, Maud Maggart, who is a brilliant singer, sings with me, and Mark Hamill does all the other male voices. And it's just brilliantly scored and underscored by a gentleman named John McKinney, who is unfortunately no longer with us. But I prefer Dreamland to Old Yellow Eyes, but, you know, taste.
But I bring it up because... The rest of the male cast sang background on...
That's right.
It's a sin to tell a lie.
On Old Yellow Eyes.
On Old Yellow Eyes.
They were my background singers.
And Dorn's a legitimate bass player.
Yeah, Dorn plays bass, and Gates is a great dancer.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy whipping out your musical talents in...
I didn't know where you were going there for a minute.
Family show.
Wow, come on, Paul. Paul, how does this interview stack up, say, with Harrison Ford? I mean, is it somewhere in that?
It's a lot looser. His went for 4 minutes. It's four times as long and four times as good. You're listening to ABC Overnights, and I'm speaking with Jonathan Frakes and Brent Spiner. Jonathan, I was speaking with somebody recently who is writing a book with Bill Shatner, and he was interviewing Marina, and she said that you are her favorite director. What's it like directing friends? What's it like directing somebody who you have a convivial relationship with? Are those lines ever blurred? Because, I mean, you know, you've directed Brent, you've been directed by Jonathan. How do you sort of manage that relationship when the kind of gears shift like that?
It's seamless with my friends. Even when they lose their temper, it's only brief. I rarely lose mine. I try to run a set in which people feel like they can make a mistake, and I make that announcement early in the day of every show that I'm on. And I think that opens up some kind of freedom. But by the time I got to direct our show, I happened to be lucky enough to get a data episode, written by a wonderful spec at this point, a spec writer named Renee Echevarria. It was a story about Data building a daughter. It was called The Offspring. So I'd been prepping for 3 years almost. They finally gave me an episode, and I had three factors that made it work. Had I been on one of the other episodes that we did in that season, in which we used to do 26 episodes a year, it could have been a stinker, and it could have been the end of my alleged directing career. So I started with my friend, and I'm still with him, and it works great when you work with your friends. I think a lot of people, Paul Thomas Anderson, he says he works with his friends. That's what he does.
Right. There's a secondhand nature to it that cuts through a lot of the chaff, you know, where you know what he's thinking.
Second
he knows
nature.
What I'm thinking.
Secondhand? Not secondhand.
Secondhand. Well, no.
I mean, like the secondhand.
No, it's like old.
I like the image.
It's like old, like secondhand. No, it's a second nature. It's like, seriously, we don't have to explain things to each other.
Right.
And also, it's comfortable. I love doing stuff when Johnny's directing because
I take all your ideas.
He takes
and
my
make
ideas,
them my own.
Makes them his own. And but it was just a relaxed quality that is the best thing you can have when you're making film or any kind of art or anything for that matter, is to be as relaxed as possible. So you don't have personalities that are, you know, conflicting or worry about, does he like what I'm doing or not? You know,
yeah.
It works well.
Is there anything that you've learned from each other over the years, knowledge that you've imparted or just sort of lessons that you've learned from each other that you have used moving forward?
I don't think we've ever been that serious.
I don't think we've,
we're not. No. We're not.
You save that for someone else.
Yeah. Maybe Harrison. No.
No.
But we're not that philosophical in general.
We have learned to finish each other's sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And yours too, Paul.
It really does help carry the load. I do appreciate it.
Of course.
You've both played so many different characters, but I'd love to ask you, Jonathan, if you could adopt one trait that Riker has, if you could take one thing that he's good at, what would it be? What is one quality that you would take from him and use in your everyday life?
His loyalty and his sense of honor, all levity aside. I try to apply it to my life as a father and as a husband and as a friend. He was a master at being loyal and straightforward. He, Riker. That was a good answer.
That was an excellent answer.
What about you, Brent?
Oh, what would I take from Riker? I think his beard.
You'd step out of chairs before sitting in them.
Exactly. No, you know what? I mean, Data's nothing but good qualities, you know? So take your pick. It's like, you know, a deck of cards and just like pick one, and that would be a nice thing to have. I'd have a good memory, you know? I'd be super strong. I'd be unjudgmental, non-judgmental.
Yes, non-judgmental.
Which is kind of nearly an impossible quality to have.
This has gone very well.
I thought you were going to say this has gone far enough.
No. Pull the cords out. No, honestly, it's been just so profoundly delightful to chat with you both and realize that you are both as deeply charming and esoteric as I'd hoped you would be. And I'm really excited about the podcast.
You're a pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul. And
live long and prosper.
Yeah, we'll see you when we get down to Melbourne, when our sponsor sends us down there to do some PR for the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you, Paul.
That was Jonathan Frakes and Brent Spiner, whose new podcast, Dropping Names with Brent and Johnny, is out now. You're listening to Overnights here on ABC Radio.